You are listening to Nebraska on Tap. This podcast will tap you into the Natural Resources District, managing Nebraska's water since 1972. Whether you are a farmer, rancher, or citizen of Nebraska, this podcast was made for you. Time to tap into this week's episode. This podcast is hosted by Heather Dismang and brought to you by the Middle Republican Natural Resources District.
Welcome, folks, to this week's edition of Nebraska on Tap. Today, we're getting into the world of groundwater hydrology with a fascinating conversation with Dr. Bridget Scanlon, a renowned expert in the field. Dr. Scanlon has dedicated her career to understanding the complexities of water resources, particularly in the High Plains region. In this episode, we'll explore the unique challenges facing this vital aquifer system, from climate change to unsustainable water use. We'll also discuss the importance of scientific research in informing water management decisions, the role of the international collaboration in addressing global water challenges. So grab a glass of water and join me as we explore the depths of groundwater science. Let's get into that interview that I had with Bridget now.
I'm Bridget Scanlon, and I'm a research professor at the Bureau of Economic Geology at the University of Texas at Austin. And I've been working on groundwater issues in the U.S. and globally for the past 35 years.
Yes, and so tell us about your knowledge on the High Plains Aquifer, how availability in Nebraska compares with other states on the High Plains, such as Kansas and Texas.
Yes, we've done a lot of work on groundwater resources in the High Plains system, and using gray satellites, and also in the Texas portion using field studies and monitoring analysis. And so there's quite a bit of difference between the High Plains in Nebraska and in the other states. Nebraska groundwater resources are more sustainable than in the other states, and this is partly because there's a moderate to high recharge rates in the sand hills, and also you have access to some surface water irrigation with the Platte River that helps to recharge the aquifer.
Okay.
Whereas in Kansas and Texas, the soils are much finer grain, more clay rich, recharge rates are very low, and if the groundwater that's extracted for irrigation is basically mining groundwater that was recharged thousands of years ago. And the U.S. Geological Survey has been doing studies on the High Plains for decades, and the monitoring data that Ginny McGuire and maps that she develops are very helpful in showing these differences. Fairly stable groundwater levels in Nebraska and declining groundwater levels in Kansas and Texas.
Yeah, that soil really does play a big difference. I mean, the sand hills are the sand hills for a reason. So yeah, that water can really work its way through there. And so what are the impacts of this irrigated agriculture on water quality and quantity in the High Plains?
So I was recently attending a water conference in Nebraska at the university in Lincoln, and really enjoyed it. Because you have moderate to high recharge rates in Nebraska, water with the nitrates and other things is getting into the aquifer, and so you have more water quality issues in Nebraska. Whereas in Texas, because the water was recharged thousands of years ago, the water quality is excellent, but there is just no very little recharge, so we don't have the water quality issues. So there's sort of a trade-off between water quantity and water quality. Where you have water quantity in Nebraska, you have water quality issues. Where you have very little water, new water or recharge water in Texas, you have very little water quality issues from agricultural practices. You have other issues related to geogenic contaminants like arsenic and stuff like that, but not from nitrates very much.
Yeah, it is interesting how that handoff goes when it comes to getting one thing but not the other.
Right. There's always a trade-off.
And so how is climate also added into this?
Right. So, I mean, because we have very low recharge rates in Kansas and Texas, climate basically is affecting, not directly affecting the groundwater resource through recharge, but indirectly affecting it through pumpage. And so when we have dry years, then we might have more irrigation pumpage than we do in wet years. And you see this more, whereas in Nebraska, then you have the groundwater system responding to the climate variability through increased recharge during wet years and more declines in storage during dry years. And it's really nice to have the U.S. drought monitor that's generated in Nebraska and look at the time series of drought and compare that to groundwater levels. So it's more dynamic in Nebraska, responding to wet and dry climate periods. But in Texas and Kansas, then it's more the pumpage that's being impacted by the climate.
Right, especially if they're not recharging as fast. And then you,
right.
You brought up the drought monitor. How has the drought monitor helped you in your work?
Oh, the drought monitor is like the best thing since sliced bread. I just love it. I mean, it's such a resource, and the way they make it available, I mean, you can have maps, you can look at time series. So oftentimes, you know, if somebody is saying, oh, we're in a drought, the first thing I do is go to the drought monitor and see, well, how does this time compare with the previous drought that I might be familiar with? For example, in Texas, we had extreme drought in 2011, so we would compare the drought monitor now to then. And in Nebraska, maybe it was the flash drought in 2012. So it's fantastic, and they do an incredible job of compiling a lot of different data sources and then on-the-ground inputs also to generate this amazing data set. So, for example, in California, they might be going through a drought for 3 or 4 years, and then they might have atmospheric rivers. And so the drought monitor will show that the meteorological drought will end overnight with atmospheric rivers. So it's an incredible resource, and I really appreciate all the work that they put into it.
And a lot of your studies are on hydrologically connected water. And I just want to know some of your thoughts on that, since you've studied globally, how your research has connected water.
Right. So I think it's very important to understand the connections between surface water and groundwater. In Nebraska, for example, if they are pumping groundwater near the Platte River, then they are reducing the groundwater discharge and the base flow in the river. And Dick Lucky at the USGS many years ago had reports out showing that the base flow in the Platte River was reduced by 50% because of irrigation pumpage. And I haven't kept up to speed on that, but I mean, so understanding those connections is very important. And then, but we have very little surface water in Texas. We have playas. These are small little lakes that recharge the groundwater. There are thousands of them, but they only occupy about 1% to 2% of the land area. But we don't have very many ephemeral streams that go through the system. But with the Platte, then, you know, I think it's very important to manage that connection between and understand the dynamics of surface water and groundwater. And so in our work, we always suggesting that to manage surface water and groundwater together as a single system is very important. And we hear now about managed aquifer recharge, so recharging depleted aquifers with excess surface water or stormwater. And so there are a lot of ways to come up with solutions to, you know, we're either in a flood or a drought, so to manage these extremes then and to do it using surface water and groundwater together, I think would be much stronger.
We recently just finished AEM survey of our whole entire district here to try to figure out that flow. underneath us. So hopefully we'll have all those diagrams soon so we can see all of that fun stuff. Because, you know, we have the river underneath us, the river surface, and then atmospheric river, as you talk about. So lots of water moving.
Right. And when I was interviewing some people in Brazil recently, they actually called them flying rivers in Brazil.
Oh, that's even cooler. I like that. Yeah, that's fun.
I do too.
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen one here in a while, so I'm sure you've seen that on the drought monitor. And so I guess with that being said, with hydraulically connected water and everything that you've studied, what do you hope your studies do for Earth's future water scientists and users?
Well, I think one of the main things that we try to do is to provide context, you know, so we're always trying to figure out, you know, if we're looking at climate impacts, looking at the drought monitor and how severe the drought is, and then trying to manage extremes. A lot of people say we're running out of water, but I think managing the floods and the droughts and optimizing water management to take advantage of wet periods and store it so we can use it during dry periods. I think that will become more and more important in the future. And then understanding the linkages between climate and human intervention through irrigation, which is the dominant user of water in many regions. I think it will be important to understand those linkages and try to optimize. And then, you know, of course, these are the biophysical parts of the system, but we've also got socioeconomic factors, which are important, like farmers have to make a living. And, you know, so trying to put it all together will be more challenging probably in the future. But there are a lot of potential solutions too.
Yeah, well, and the work you do gives us so much more data to be able to analyze all of those things and put them together as well. So thank you so much for that.
Well, my pleasure. And I really enjoy visiting Nebraska recently, and I'm a huge fan of the drought monitor, and then very much enjoy talking to other people about the dynamics of the system up there. Sometimes it's difficult to just look at reports and data, but when you talk to people, you get a much better vision of what's going on in different regions. And one size doesn't fit anybody, and so we have to consider the context of what's going on in different areas.
And then also, too, you have a podcast as well called Water Resources Podcast. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. I mean, I started doing the podcast because I felt like nobody was reading my papers, but I'm not sure many people are listening to my podcast either. So it's just another way of communicating. And I've been absolutely having a blast doing it because I learned so much talking to different people about their work. And it's a way to promote other people's work and use a different medium to communicate. So I'm really enjoying it and learning a lot, and hopefully some other people are getting some benefits from it also.
And when do you release shows?
So we release the shows once every 2 weeks on a Thursday. I have, you know, maybe about 40 of them out at this point, and we'll continue doing it into the near future. But I appreciate the invitation to chat with you. It's very nice to talk about the comparisons between the Northern High Plains and Nebraska region and the Central and Southern High Plains, and to acknowledge those differences, because oftentimes the High Plains is presented as a single system and think that it's all being overexploited. So I think it was nice to have a chance to chat about that.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and hope you have a good weekend.
All right, that's a wrap on this episode of Nebraska on Tap, Season 3, Episode 13. This was brought to you by the Middle Republican Natural Resources District, and we hope that you enjoyed this conversation that I had with Dr. Bridget Scanlon as much as I did. So remember, understanding our water resources is crucial for the future of Nebraska. So stay tuned for more insightful discussions on a variety of topics related to water, agricultural, and environmental conversation that we have for you here on Nebraska on Tap. Once again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast for future episodes. And as always, you can check out our website, www.nebraskaontap.com, for more episodes and YouTube videos, and also links to our socials. So have a great one. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.